Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Reading those verses 8 and 9 once again. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Father, we thank you once again for the blessing, the gift, the privilege, and the honor it is for us to be able to open your word every single day and spend time one-on-one with you. Thank you for how that as we spend time with you in your word, you guide us, you mold us, you shape us, you equip us, you prepare us to be warriors prepared for the battlefield of the day. And I thank you, Lord, for the fact that by the power of your spirit and your word, we can be fully equipped for everything we will face on any given day. Thank you for the wonderful gift of your word. With every passing day, more and more increase in our eyes and our understanding how valuable and how powerful and what a wonderful gift your word is to us. Help us as skillful warriors to learn to put your word more and more wisely to work in our lives every single day. We thank you for the gift that it is. Help us to live that and help us to teach and encourage others to do the same. We thank you, Lord. We praise you in Jesus' name. We do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson, and he's going to share a word of prayer with us at this time as well.
Father, we're thankful to look back on a week where you've taken care of us, you've watched over us, you've been such a good God to us. We pray for our listening family. We pray that you would just use your word in a mighty way in their hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Rick. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We'd like to remind and challenge and encourage you. Please pray for the ministry of the American Family Association. We very much need your prayers and pray for the ministry of the broadcast, this broadcast, the Hour of Intercession. Again, we really do need your prayers. I want to challenge and encourage every single believer to take this very seriously. Let's pray faithfully and diligently for our president and the first lady. The news was shared that they've been diagnosed with COVID-19, and let's pray. I'm going to take time to pray now, and I want to invite every single listener to pray with me for the President and First Lady Melania Trump, Donald Trump and Melania Trump. Father, we lift up the President and his wife to you. Father, thank you, Lord, for being Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Father, thank you for the fact that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you are a healer, and you're the greatest physician that exists. Father, we lift up the president and his wife. Father, touch them. We rebuke the enemy in the ways he's trying to come against their bodies and attack their bodies. We rebuke and we bind the work of the enemy. Father, touch both of their bodies. Minister healing and wholeness to them quickly in Jesus' name. Quicken them spiritually, physically, mentally. Boost their immune systems, Lord, and bless and prosper and protect their health, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Engulf them in your Holy Spirit even now. Minister to them according to your perfect will. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. I'd like to remind you once again, President Donald Trump has announced the nomination of Judge Amy Coney Barrett to fill the vacancy of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg on the U.S. Supreme Court. And in a recent letter to President Trump, the president of AFA, President Tim Wildman, described Judge Barrett as a known and well-respected woman of faith among evangelical conservative Christians. We encourage you to contact your senators and urge them to confirm Judge Amy Coney Barrett to the U.S. Supreme Court. To contact your senators, click on the link at afa.net. Again, that's at afa.net. And we're still looking for and receiving listener testimonies for our share-a-thon, which is just a few days away. We're still gathering those stories. So if you haven't called and shared one yet, we would really appreciate hearing from you and you just sharing how the Lord has used American Family Radio to strengthen you and your family in your walk with the Lord, to equip you as warriors on the battlefield of life, and to help you to be a more faithful disciple. If you'd like to call and share your testimony that just may very well be heard on our upcoming share-a-thon, please call us at this number, 1-877-876-8893. Again, that's 1-877-876-8893. Well, today we're looking specifically at the topic of skillfully putting the sword of the Spirit to work. Again, skillfully putting the sword of the Spirit to work. And we'll be looking at a number of different passages in the Word of God that help us to be better equipped Christian soldiers and warriors on the battlefield of life. And like it or not, life is a battlefield. And it's important that we understand that God is our greatest gift. He is our Heavenly Father. He's our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And His precious and powerful word is a powerful weapon that He's placed in our hands for us to take and use victoriously every single day. So as we look at the topic of skillfully putting the sword of the Spirit to work, the sword of the Spirit, of course, is the Word of God. We want to begin at this point looking at Ephesians chapter 6, reading verses 10 to 20. Again, Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 20. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Again, Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 20. Father, thank you once again for the opportunity you give us to put on the full armor of God every single day. Thank you for the great wisdom and insight that you give to us, even in this short and small passage, but powerful passages that teaches us the different pieces of spiritual armor that we can place on ourselves every single day. Help us, Lord, to be wise enough to do just that. Guide us, teach us, and empower us to be faithful to put on that armor every single day. And help us as parents and grandparents to be wise enough to teach and train our children to do the same. Lord, help us to be wise enough to be diligent students of your word, believers who read and meditate on your word daily. But help us also, Lord, to be believers that know how to speak your word and pray your word and stand on your word and put it and meditate on it and to put it to work in all the ways that we can and should each and every day. Thank you for this opportunity. And help us to recognize, Lord, that we need your word, just as you demonstrated to us and you modeled for us how to do warfare when in the scriptures, in the gospels, when it shows how the devil came against you and to seek to tempt you. Lord, you wonderfully and skillfully used the word. And thank you, Father, for the fact that you defeated him every single time. Teach our hands to war, Lord. Teach us to do the same, to know how to put your word to work in every setting, in every circumstance, to speak your word, to stand on your word, to trust your word, to pray your word, to put it to work. We thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You know, one of the truths I want to continue to remind and encourage you about is that for quite some time, we've been sharing about the importance of using the weapon of Psalm 91 as a weapon of divine protection. And I would challenge and encourage you, continue to be faithful. Don't get weary in using it every day. Every single day, I want to encourage you to keep right on praying it for you and your family. Hear the words of Psalm 91 in that psalm. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. All of Psalm 91. And one of the reasons why we've continued to encourage you to really put it to work is because it's such a powerful weapon and tool within the Word of God that is available to any believer to use. You know, all of the Psalms are wonderful and powerful weapons and tools, but Psalm 91 is unique in some regards in it because it's specifically a tool and a weapon that we can use for divine protection. So my challenge to every single listener is to make it your goal to read and meditate on Psalm 91 consistently and pray it absolutely every single day. If you've not received a copy of the Psalm 91 prayer as of yet, simply email me at my email, jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. And we're challenging and encouraging you, if you're not already, start praying the Psalm 91 prayer every single day as a powerful weapon for you to be using on the battlefield of life every single day. Pray it for yourself and for your family. But also, after you receive it, pass it on, forward it to any and everyone the Lord puts on your heart to forward it to. It's a great way for you to do some critically important discipleship work. And how easy it is, really, to simply email it to lots of people that you know. And the fact is, it may be one of the most powerful gifts you give to family and friends and loved ones. Why? Because it's the Word of God, and the Word of God is the most powerful weapon in the universe. And God entrusts it to us, and we get the privilege of putting it to work each and every day of our lives. Father, anoint our minds with a fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit. More and more, open our minds and our understanding to the wonderful gift and weapon your Word is, and help us to be diligent to use it daily, each and every day. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we look at the topic, Skillfully Putting the Sword of the Spirit to Work. We'll be right back.
Last night put the heavy on me. Woke woke up and I'm feeling lonely. This world got a way of showing me. Some days it'll lift you up, some days it'll call you bluff. Man, most of my days I ain't got enough. Shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me when I'm beat down, broken. Hold my heart when it's split wide open. Turn these eyes to my soul protector and break the will of this born defector. 'Cause all I know is you're my only hope.
Music of Toby Mac. I just need you. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're continuing to look at the topic, skillfully putting the sword of the Spirit to work. And one of our goals is to help you and to help us all to be encouraged and be knowledgeable of the fact that God's Word is such a powerful weapon, such an important weapon. Psalm 119 verse 105 says, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." You know, it's good for us to grow an understanding of how vitally and wonderfully connected the Word of God is with the Holy Spirit. I said, well, what is the connection? Well, the Bible tells us in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word of God is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word of God. And Jesus is one with the Holy Spirit. So part of what that means is the Word of God is permeated with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Comforter. In what way does he comfort us? He comforts and ministers to our mind, body, and spirit. He brings comfort to our mind and comfort to our body and comfort to our spirit. So when you read the Word of God, that means it's like you're allowing the Spirit of God to minister comfort to your whole being. Do you need peace today? Do you need grace? Do you need strength? Well, of course, the Word of God brings all of that. And again, the Holy Spirit, who is the Comforter, if you want more of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter at work in your life, spend more time in the Word of God. It's like pouring comfort onto your mind, your body, and your spirit as you spend time in God's precious and powerful Word. I would challenge you to make time in God's Word one of the high priorities of your day every single day. Remember, Jesus will spend as much time with you as you will spend with him. The ball is in your court. Once again, my email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. If you'd like to get a copy of the Psalm 91 prayer, and we are challenging, continuing to challenge and encourage you, pray the Psalm 91 prayer absolutely every single day over yourself and over your family. You know, the first two words of Psalm 91 tell us, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust." You know, we live in a perilous world. So many perils, such as diseases, the flu, the talk of the coronavirus, and many other tragic diseases. They leave many people very, very fearful. And in a world where we look at things going on in inner cities and many communities that are just dangerous places to be, we see the tragedy of the riots that are going on in our urban areas and other parts of the world, people that seem to be bent on bringing destruction and terror and trouble to the world that already has plenty of problems before those even begin. We think of the problems of drug trafficking and human trafficking, muggings, murders, physical and sexual abuse. Where can people go for refuge to be safe? You know, in 2 Timothy verse 3, chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come." Well, the fact is we're living in the last days, and we do live in perilous times. So where can we go for refuge? Well, of course, the Word of God has the answer. Our refuge is in God. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. And so, actually, God in His Word did provide us a wonderful weapon and a place of refuge in Psalm 91 in particular. We're going to take time specifically to pray Psalm 91. Remember, there's a secret place in God, in that intimate, close fellowship relationship with God, where we can find real refuge. Let's pray Psalm 91 now. Lord, today we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Today we say of the Lord, "You are our refuge and our fortress. Our God, in you do we trust. Surely you deliver us from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler. And so we are not afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked. Because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the Most High our habitation, no evil will befall us, nor does any plague come near our dwelling. For you give your angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash a foot against a stone. We tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent, we trample underfoot. Because we have set our love upon you, therefore you deliver us. You set us on high because we have known your name. We call upon you and you answer us. You are with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us with long life. You satisfy us and show us your salvation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen." Looking specifically at the passage we just alluded to, 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, it tells us these words. "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such people, turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Johnnies and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, just as theirs also was. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, but evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." All of 2 Timothy chapter 3. Again, a powerful chapter for you to read and meditate on, because it, as it begins, it opens up reminding us that In the last days, perilous times will come. And of course, we see perilous times have come to our world. But we can be of good cheer because we know the Lord Jesus Christ has let us know, be of good cheer, for he has overcome the world. And so it's important that we know that we walk with the one who has already defeated the world and all the enemies of God, Satan and all his hosts. Father, we thank you once again for the opportunity for us to put your word to work every single day in our lives. Help us more and more to recognize, Lord, that you've called us to dwell in your word. You've called us to read and meditate on your word. You've called us to daily to read it, hear it, believe it, speak it, pray it, obey it, and meditate on it. Help us to be wise enough to put it to work in all these ways every single day of our lives. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Allow me to take time to share once again 11 excellent reasons you should read God's word every single day. Again, these are great reasons to help you to be encouraged to be in God's word every day. Number one, it tells you genuinely how to be saved and how to grow up in your faith. Number two, it gives you clear guidance and direction for much of your life. Number three, reading God's word daily empowers your prayer life. A fourth reason to read God's word every day is because reading his word daily sharpens your ability to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit more and more clearly in your life. Number five, reading God's word daily ministers to your mind, body, and spirit. Six, it helps you maintain your mental health. Number seven, reading God's word daily increases God's anointing on every area of your life. Number eight, it increases your wisdom in every area of your life. Number nine, reading God's word daily enhances your intellect and your personality. It literally can increase your IQ. A tenth reason to read the word daily, it pours grace, peace, mercy, and joy into your spirit, your mind, and your life. And an 11th reason to read the word daily, in direct statement or in principle, God's word gives you guidance and or direction about every issue, every topic, every matter in all of life. Father, thank you for the opportunity we have, not only of being able to read your word daily, but help us to be wise enough to diligently teach, train, guide, and encourage our children to read your word daily as well. Help us to know, Lord, that there's nothing that can better equip our children for life than your precious word. And there's nothing that will empower them and strengthen them. And there's no greater weapon they can be equipped than your powerful word. Help us as parents and grandparents and those that work with youth to be wise enough to teach, to train, to guide them, to do all we can to help them fall in love with the wonderful gift of your word. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Let me remind you once again of seven wonderful ways to put God's word to work in your life each and every day. We can read the word daily. We can hear it. We can believe it. We can speak it. We can obey it. We can pray it, and we can meditate on it. All of them are related, but none are quite the same thing, because you can read God's word but not really hear it. You can read the word of God but not choose to believe it. You can speak God's word, but also we should not only speak the word of God, we should pray the word of God. You may recall that once again, when Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted by the devil, Jesus spoke the word of God and powerfully put the weapon of the word to work against him. Again, we're looking specifically at the topic of skillfully putting the sword of the Spirit to work. You know, in the book of Psalms, probably one of, if not the best known scripture in all of the book of Psalms, and probably one of the most beloved, or is the one of the most beloved psalms in all of the Word of God, is specifically Psalm 23. And even Psalm 23, not only is it a beautiful and a powerful psalm, it too is a weapon we should use every day. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All of Psalm 23. Again, a beautiful psalm and a powerful psalm, a very comforting psalm. But at the same time, it's a weapon. In what way is it a weapon? Well, amongst other things, on a daily basis, I would challenge and encourage you to speak Psalm 23 And let the Lord know that you're reminding him of all the promises found in that psalm and you're standing on all of them. It's good for you to, for example, on a daily basis to do something along this line. Lord, I stand on the promises of Psalm 23. You are my shepherd and I shall not be in want. And then to go on to recite the whole psalm. Now you might think, well, God knows Psalm 23 better than I do. Certainly that's true. But God likes for us to return his word back to him. To return his word back to him. Now you might think, well, what do you mean? When you speak the word of God, God is always listening to his word. And remember, the word of God is Jesus, and Jesus is the word of God. And you're walking with Jesus as you read the word, as you spend time meditating on the word, as you speak the word, as you pray the word. It's one more way to help us to walk with Jesus. And God likes for us to return his word back to him. I would challenge you to put the weapon of Psalm 23 to work every single day, standing on its promises. Thank you again, Father, for the wonderful gift of Psalm 23. Help us to understand the wisdom and the grace found in speaking it and standing on its promises every single day. Help us to not only do it, but help us to teach and train our children to do the same. And help us to know, Lord, that reciting and speaking your word is not just a nice habit, but it's a way to battle the enemy. It's a way to put the power of your word to work in our lives. Thank you for the gift of Psalm 23. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercessions. We're looking at the topic, skillfully putting the sword of the Spirit to work. We'll be right back. Music from Vertical Worship. Yes, I will. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic specifically of skillfully putting the sword of the Spirit to work. And our encouragement to you is to grow in your understanding of how vitally and important it is that we put God's powerful word, the sword of the Spirit, to work in our lives vitally, aggressively, every single day. There's great power found in his word. But you know, you and I have our part to play. We have to put it to work. Once again, seven great ways and important ways for us to use the word daily. We can read it, hear it, believe it, speak it, obey it, pray it, and meditate on it. And also, I'd like to remind you once again, I want to take time to go through a set of prayers we put together. We call them kingdom prayers. And once again, if you'd like to get a copy of these, just email us, jparker@afa.net. Again, jparker@afa.net. And I would encourage you to take time. It doesn't take but a few minutes to pray through these each and every day. Prayers that are based on or that are drawn directly from, they're based on the Word of God or drawn directly from the Word of God. I would challenge you to pray them each and every day. Now, if you would ask yourself the question, what difference did it make today that I prayed? What difference did it make what I prayed for? Did it make any difference at all? Well, allow me to respond. I'm glad that you asked. It makes all the difference in the world. Because you prayed, and specifically you prayed certain issues that relate to the kingdom of God and the work and the word of God and the will of God, again, many times this is how, well, these are the ways whereby God's work gets done in the world. You know, typically, God will put desires in our hearts, things that are from His heart. And as we take time to pray them, that's how the will of God is birthed into the world. He'll use individuals who will pray to get His work and His will done. So I would challenge you to ask God to anoint and bless and prosper your prayer life. And once again, if you'd like to get a copy of the Kingdom Prayers tool that we're about to pray through, just email me at jparker@afa.net. We'd be glad to do that. For listeners that are listening, maybe you might be someone who has never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Well, the answer to the biggest problem in your life is Jesus. Of course, Jesus is the answer to all of the problems in our lives in reality. But if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you need to make that step. You need to allow Him to become the Lord and Savior of your life, because He's the answer to all the issues we face. I would challenge and encourage you to pray this prayer with me if you'd like to be saved today. Lord Jesus, I believe You are the Son of God. I recognize that I've sinned and done wrong. Lord, I repent and turn from all the wrong things I've done. Lord, forgive me for all the wrong I've done. I do believe that You died on the cross to pay for my sins. And I believe that 3 days later You rose from the dead so that I could be saved. Thank You, Lord, for loving me enough to die for me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Become my Lord and Savior. Make me the person You want me to be. You said in Your word that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on Your name. Lord Jesus, save me. Fill me with Your Spirit. Help me to follow You my whole life. Thank You, Lord, for saving me. And I now confess I'm a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. And then a prayer the Lord Jesus Himself taught His disciples to pray is the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And then a prayer found, a beautiful but a very short prayer, but a great prayer to pray daily, is found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10, that we refer to as the prayer of Jabez. Dear Lord, bless me indeed. Expand my territory. Place Your hand anew upon me and keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. In Jesus' name, amen. And then found in the book of Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5, we find the Ten Commandments in their entirety. It's very wise and very productive to pray the Ten Commandments every single day. Let's take time. We're going to pray this prayer over ourselves, over the church, and over our nation. Father, thank You, Lord, for the opportunity for us to pray the Ten Commandments today. Father, we thank You for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ all over the world. And we thank You for our nation. Lord, help us all, Lord, this day to put You first. Help us, Lord, to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take Your name in vain. Help all of us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us all, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Lord, help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us, Lord, to not steal. Help us, Lord, to tell the truth. Help us, Lord, to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. All of the prayer of praying the Ten Commandments. And then a prayer similar to the prayer Solomon prayed, asking God for wisdom. based on the prayer in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 4 to 15. Thank you, Lord, for today. Lord, on this day, give me wisdom to be the person that you want me to be. Lord, help and guide me by your Holy Spirit to be the best I can be and to do the best I can do. And Lord, give me all the wisdom I need to accomplish your will in my life this day. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And then the Apostle Paul prayed a short prayer very soon after he got saved. His first words after he fell off the horse on the road to Damascus, after the Lord shone a great light upon him on the road to Damascus, he said, "Lord, who are you?" But then he asked a simple prayer and found in Acts chapter 9, verse 6. His prayer was, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" So let's take a moment to pray that. Here we are, Lord. What do you want each one of us to do this day in the name of Jesus? Help each one of us to fully do it. In Jesus' name, amen. And then a prayer found in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, a prayer, a simple prayer that Isaiah prayed to the Lord. "Lord, here I am. I'm available. Send me this day to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen." And then a prayer prayed by King Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12, a wise prayer to pray on a daily basis. "Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Deliver us from this present evil and from the evil one. In Jesus' name, amen." And of course, we prayed Psalm 91 earlier. The final one listed in the Kingdom Prayers is a prayer based on a prayer that Aaron prayed over the children of Israel. "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." That prayer is found in the book of Numbers, chapter 6, verses 24 to 27. Let's pray it one more time. "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." Amen. Again, if you'd like to get a copy of the prayer, the set of prayers that we call Kingdom Prayers that we just took time to pray through, just email me at jparker@afa.net. This is a very helpful prayer guide to help you pray, and it doesn't take long to pray through them. It's a very helpful prayer guide to use. Now I want to share a touching story that reminds us of the importance of us doing all we can to help our children come to know the Lord, and then we teach them how to pray and teach them to read your word as well. And it's simply entitled, "God Lives Under the Bed." God lives under the bed. I envy Kevin. My brother Kevin thinks God lives under his bed. At least that's what I heard him say one night. He was praying out loud in his dark bedroom, and I stopped to listen. "Are you there, God?" he said. "Where are you?" "Oh, I see, under the bed." I giggled softly and tiptoed off to my own room. Kevin's unique perspectives are often a source of amusement to the rest of the family. But that night, something else lingered long after the humor. I realized for the first time the very different world Kevin lives in. Kevin was born 30 years ago, mentally disabled as a result of difficulties during labor. Apart from his size, he's 6'2". There are few ways in which he is an adult. He reasons and communicates with the capabilities of a 7-year-old, and he always will. He will probably always believe that God lives under his bed, that Santa Claus is the one who fills the space under our tree every Christmas, and that airplanes stay up in the sky because angels carry them. I remember wondering if Kevin realizes he is different. Is he ever dissatisfied with this monotonous life? Up before dawn each day, off to work at a workshop for the disabled, home to walk our Cocker Spaniel, return to eat his favorite macaroni and cheese for dinner, and later to bed. The only variation in the entire scheme is laundry, when he hovers excitedly over the washing machine like a mother with her newborn child. Kevin doesn't seem to be dissatisfied. He lopes out to the bus every morning at 7:05, eager for a day of simple work. He wrings his hands excitedly while the water boils on the stove before dinner, and he stays up late twice a week to gather our dirty laundry for next day's laundry chores. And Saturdays, oh, the bliss of Saturdays. That's the day my dad takes Kevin to the airport to have a soft drink, watch the planes land, and speculate loudly the destination of each passenger inside. "That one's going to Chicago," Kevin shouts as he claps his hands. His anticipation is so great, he can hardly sleep on Friday nights. And so goes the world, his world of daily rituals and weekend trips. He doesn't know what it means to be discontent. Kevin's life is simple. Kevin will never know the entanglements of wealth or power. He doesn't care what brand of clothing he wears or what kind of food he eats. His needs have always been met, and he never worries that one day they may not be. Kevin's hands are diligent. He's never so happy as when he's working. When he unloads the dishwasher or vacuums the carpet, his heart is completely in it, into it. He doesn't shrink from a job when it's begun, and he doesn't leave a job until it's finished. But when his tasks are done, Kevin knows how to relax. He's not obsessed with his work or the work of others. His heart is pure. He still believes everyone tells the truth. Promises must be kept, and when you're wrong, you apologize instead of argue. Kevin is free from pride and unconcerned with appearances. Kevin's not afraid to cry when he's hurt or angry and sorry. He's always transparent, always sincere, and Kevin trusts God. Not confined by intellectual reasoning, when he comes to Christ, he comes as a child. Kevin seems to know God, to really be friends with him in a way that's difficult for a quote-unquote educated person to grasp. Kevin seems like God is his closest companion. In my moments of doubt and frustration with my faith, I envy the security Kevin seems to have with his simple faith. It is then that I am most willing to admit that he has some divine knowledge that rises above my mortal questions. It is then that I realize that perhaps he's not the one with the handicap. I am. My obligations, my fear, my pride, my circumstances, they all become disabilities when I do not trust them to God's care. Who knows if Kevin comprehends things I can never learn? After all, he spent his whole life with that kind of innocence, praying after dark and soaking up the goodness and love of God. And one day when the mysteries of heaven are open, we will all be amazed at how close God really was to all of our hearts. And I realize that God heard the simple prayers of a boy who believed that God lived under his bed. Kevin won't be surprised at all. You've been listening to the Hour of Intercessions. We've been looking today at the topic of skillfully putting the sword of the Spirit to work. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.